Hello and welcome to the Rooted in the Really Real podcast. Get ready to go on a journey of knowledge, growth, healing, and prayer rooted in our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for joining us today. Now let's dive in.
Good morning. It's a joy to be with you this morning to celebrate this holy sacrifice of the Mass and to preach on vocations. Although I've realized that preaching on vocations during Lent is much harder than it is throughout the rest of the year, because almost all of the homilies are about calls to conversion and being aware of our own sinfulness. But nonetheless, here we go. So I was sitting in the chapel this morning, actually in the rest of this week, asking the Lord, how do you want me to preach, and how do we fit vocations into these readings? And the Lord reminded me that each one of us are temples of the Holy Spirit, and that each family is a domestic church, and that within each family, like within the temple in the gospel we heard today, it is easy for sin and darkness to enter in, to distort the intentionality of the temple being there for worship and for prayer. It is easy for us to lose sight of the real reason that we are here, which is to give worship to the Lord and to know the Lord's love for us, his faithfulness to us, and the very gift that is the person of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. And within the context of our families, we are called to emulate and to make known this gift of Jesus in the way that we love each other. Because it's love that breaks open the heart to follow after Jesus. It is love that teaches us to be most like Jesus. And it is love that gives witness to the world about the authenticity of the gift of grace and the gift of baptism that you and I have received. And so we want to look for a moment at our own families. We want to take a moment to ask the Lord Jesus, Lord, in my own family, who are the money changers? Who are those that are selling things that don't belong there, that are stealing from our family this love that ought be there, and instead is distorting it for the sake of the enemy rather than our own good and our own salvation? And I think if we're honest with ourselves, there's four major culprits, I think, at the end of the day that do this most effectively. Right, the first one is pride. Right, we have pride in so many different areas of our lives, and one of the ones I think that is most surprising. Right, how many of you have ever complained that God is not moving quick enough? Has anybody here ever done that? Said, like, Lord, why are you doing this? Why can't this go faster? Why can't you fix this? Lord, why are you taking as long as you're taking? I know what is best, Jesus. Just do what I think, and things will be well. Right, that's me half the time sitting in the chapel being like, Jesus, where are our vocations? Jesus, give us more seminarians. And I went to confession one time, and the priest looked at me. He goes, well, you realize, Father, that's just the sin of pride, right? And I said, what are you talking about? He goes, well, you're judging the Lord in thinking that it should happen in your time and in your way. And that's that very first commandment of placing yourself above the Lord by judging him. And I was just like, oh, that's monkeys. I don't like that at all. And so, you know, we repent of that. But within our own homes, this pride comes about in a different way, right? How many of us as children question our parents in a way where it's judgmental? Not like in a way where it's like, I don't understand, help me understand. But in a way where it's almost like, I know better, and so I'm going to ask you these questions, and then I'm going to get angry with you because you don't give me the answer I want, when I want, and how I want, right? We all know what that's like, because we're all still children. But on the flip side, you have us as parents, at times when our children ask us for information, ask us to explain, we dismiss them, right? We don't think that they're maybe worthy of an explanation, or we don't think that they're deserving of it, or we just think that we already know what's right, and therefore we don't have to explain what's underneath that. Now, being the vocation director, I have 23 seminarians who are very, very good about pointing out when I do this. And they all make me very much aware of my weaknesses here where I think I'm right. And they're like, but Father, last week you sent us all this email saying this exact opposite thing. And I'm like, well, that's awkward. You must be mistaken, even though you have the email. And the reality, though, is this. It's like, okay, like, I'm ashamed or upset with myself because I've made a mistake. And now I have a choice. I can acknowledge it, and I can say thank you, or I'm sorry. Or I can double down, which is what I think a lot of us do, and push twice as hard against it. Pride comes in the forms of self-reliance, where we're not willing to ask for help. It comes in self-sufficiency. It comes in a way where it's like in that selfishness, where it's all about me. Like in the rectory, we talk about sometimes like what we've done for the house when we live together. It's like, well, I've emptied the dishwasher 6 times this week and took out the garbage. To which the pastor goes, and that is the bare minimum for Christian charity. But he's right. Right? Like, that's just what you do because it's what you do, because who wants dirty dishes, right? Seriously. Right? It's just what you do. It's not anything excessive, but there's a sense of like, look at me, like I did these things. And these things steal away from this community of love because it now puts us in comparison with each other. Right? The other one that comes in here is complaining, right? Complaining is the other one that gets us with pride. Because complaining is always rooted in judgment. You don't complain if you're not judging something. And have you ever noticed that when you start to complain, it doesn't matter how good your day is going, as soon as you start complaining, your day all of a sudden is not nearly as good. Like it steals your joy. Comparison is what does that. It just steals joy. And so if in our homes we have this spirit of complaining or maybe our children hear us complaining about the world, our work, or other things, it steals the joy that is meant to be there because these are temples of God. So pride is one. The second one is anger. Now, all of us get angry. Why? Because anger is a very, very important emotion. Anger is the emotion that says when boundaries have been violated, when there is an injustice. Anger is the emotion that says when things that ought to be done have not been done. Anger is the emotion that takes place when we haven't grieved, or when we've been hurt, or when we've been betrayed. Anger is a very important emotion, and we see Jesus angry at the misuse of the temple. But for most of us within our homes, when our children express anger to us, we take it personally, without allowing them to express what was going on. Right? How many of you have children that are like the ages of like 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? Right? They see injustice, and as soon as they see injustice, they get super angry, don't they? Because that is the proper emotional response to injustice. And we have to give space for this so that they can work through and understand why they're angry. Because if we don't, then when somebody violates their boundaries, if they're older, they'll think, well, I shouldn't feel what I'm feeling, and I shut that down. Because when we express anger to the Lord, when we express this to the Lord, it allows the Lord to do something within our lives. But with anger, oftentimes, though, comes unforgiveness. Right? The righteous person sins 7 times a day. And so just think about this, right? Your husband and wife, that means you've sinned against each other at least 7 times today. Maybe already. Right? And so a big part of this, though, is how often and how quickly are you willing to run to Jesus to ask the Lord to help you forgive your spouse for the ways that they've hurt you? How quickly do we run to Jesus asking him to help us forgive our parents for the ways they've hurt us? Or asking us to help us to forgive our siblings for the way they've hurt us? Or our children for the way they've hurt us? Right? Because if we don't ask Jesus to help us forgive, oftentimes we keep score. And if any of you are Irish, I'm not, but like I know the Irish are very good at this. They have a tendency to remember everything. And then they remind you of it. It's like, I've forgiven you, but I haven't forgotten. Like, not a helpful response. Okay? It's like, no, if we forgive, we have to let Jesus hold that. That doesn't excuse the behavior, but it creates space for grace to move. And the last one is that our families, these temples of the love of God, also need to be places of prayer. Right? Pope John Paul II tells about in his story how he would see his dad every night at prayer. He would see his dad praying before the Blessed Mother, kneeling there, seeking her intercession, constantly asking for grace, for him to be the father that he needed to be because his wife had died, and for the graces that his sons needed to grow in that relationship with Jesus and the Lord. And we have to have a space of prayer where we allow prayer just to naturally come up, where our children see us praying, and where our children, you know, we invite them to pray. We teach them how to say the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Glory Be. We bring them and we teach them to light candles to the saints asking for their intercession. We give them this gift that is so real because God is present within the midst of our homes. He is in the midst of our families. And it's when we do this that we create a space in which God's love can truly be present. And the beauty of that is that love is what moves a man and a woman's heart to holy and healthy marriages, to the priesthood, and to religious life. It is that love within the home that transforms and creates the capacity for one to say, "Mom, I think I'm supposed to be Jesus' bride. Dad, I think I'm supposed to give my life over to the church for the sake of all the families, not just my own." And this is truly the gift that comes from family. Now, to help us get there, though, we need to have holy and healthy priests. And I was talking to a friend about vocations a number of months ago, and he shared with me how their parish this past year had ordained 6 men to the priesthood. Think about that, right? The Cathedral of Joliet had 6 men from here get ordained to the priesthood, right? That would be unbelievably amazing. And I said, "Well, how big is your parish?" And they said, "It's about 2,000 families, Father." I said, "Well, that's not a very big parish at all." But they had 6 men who were ordained to the priesthood. And I said, "Well, tell me, how did this happen?" He goes, "Well, Father, you should know that 35 years ago, we had no one ordained to the priesthood. There was nobody coming to Mass, and our church was almost empty." I said, "What changed?" He said, "Well, Father, there was a woman in the back of church who was one of those women that you meet who sits there with her arms crossed and always mumbling under her breath about how much she's angry with everybody around her, right? I think we've sometimes seen these women or these men sometimes in church, right? And Our Lady came to her and said, 'It's time you finish complaining and start using all this energy for prayer.' And she asked Our Lady, 'Well, what do you want me to do?' And Our Lady said, 'I want you to pray every day for the happiness, holiness, and healthiness of your parish priests.' She said, 'For how long?' She goes, 'The rest of your life.' And so this woman starts praying every day her rosary for these intentions. And over time, the people in the church who are there notice that she's no longer as grouchy. Like, all of a sudden, she begins to have these signs of joy and she's smiling. And they said, 'What's changed?' She said, 'Well, Our Lady asked me to pray for the priests. And as I began praying for them, like, I haven't complained as much. And the more I prayed for them, the less I complained. And really now I just keep praying for them.' To which everyone's like, 'But have you seen our parish priests?' And she's like, 'I'm only doing what Mary asked.' So she prayed. And she prayed like this for almost 20 years. And all of a sudden, more people started coming to Mass, and there was a subtle change in the culture of her parish. Because just like in our families, right, we have to make sure that we ask Jesus to cast out from within each of our parishes that which is unholy. And as people began to join her in this prayer, all of a sudden they began to see their priests change. They began to be more joyful, more gentle, happier, and healthier, and holier. Such that all of a sudden one man went to seminary, and then one woman went to religious life, and then 2, and then 4, and then this last year they had 6 ordained to the priesthood. And so I'm here to ask, right, to pray for your parish priests here at the cathedral, to pray that they would be happy, healthy, and holy. But also then we have to pray for ourselves. And the way we do that is by asking our Lord, asking really Our Lady to help us to know the love of Jesus, to accept the love of Jesus, because that's actually harder than knowing about the love of Jesus, is accepting it, that it's personal for you, right? That Jesus loves just you. And that's harder sometimes to accept than it is to know about it. And then we have to be able to share that, because it's in the sharing that it becomes really real. And so we want to pray 3 Hail Marys: to know the love of Jesus, to accept the love of Jesus, and to share the love of Jesus. But the last thing is that because we've sinned within our families, we have to do small penances. And so I want to invite you to fast once a week for your family, that the Lord would give the graces to heal and redeem whatever wounds would be there in your homes, that he would place love where love was not, and that he would transform your family. Because just as we have to create and protect the temple that is ourselves, that is our family, that is our parish, and is our church, like we have to pray and do this in a way that allows everyone to grow and fulfill the call that God has placed in them in baptism. And so please, join me in praying for your parish priests, that they would be happy, healthy, and holy once a week with a rosary or a decade. Pray for yourselves, that you would know that love of God, accept it, and share it by praying three Hail Marys every day, and to fast for whatever healing your family needs. Because it's in that grace that this church will be filled. Maybe not next year, but if we live well these invitations of the Lord to follow his commands, it will be filled. Because who can resist the love of God? And together let us pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. We invite you to subscribe to this podcast and share it with a friend. You can also follow our Facebook page, Rooted in the Really Real Podcast, and Ashley Poltorek on Instagram for episode information and more. God bless.